60 Days to Flatter Abs, a new you by the new year. Learn to love yourself. Eat right, get enough sleep, exercise, and don't stress. If only it were that easy, and by that I mean impossible, to have a healthy life. But even if you get those flatter abs, how do you tone up everything else that's important to you? What we really want is to flourish physically and relationally and emotionally and spiritually on our own terms. And I've got great news. With a little bit of coaching, you can have that life. I'm Kim Weir. This is the Art of Friendship Podcast. We've all fallen for gimmicks that promise happiness at the end of the rainbow, only to get there to find out while you have improved in one area, something else is still cattywampus. So we look for another program aimed at fixing that area of life. Honestly, the pursuit of happiness can be exhausting. But what if we are going at it the wrong way? Instead of working on being healthy, then working on being happy, what if we start assessing all the areas of our lives in regard to the health status to get to the same end? Happiness, that flourishing life of balance that leaves you satisfied physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. When we confront our whole lives from an interconnected approach, we can make adjustments in one area without upsetting the whole apple cart. And as we head into the busy holidays, adjustments always have to be made to accommodate. So good news, today we're going to learn how to break the rules and create a lifestyle suited just to you that keeps you in the land of happy and healthy no matter what's going on around you. Joining the conversation is Heather Fuselet. Heather is a board-certified health coach whose mission is to help you create and sustain a life of health and wellness that incorporates everything that you value. The host of the Heather Solves Everything podcast, she's also the author of Happy, Healthy You, Breaking the Rules for a Well-Balanced Life. Heather, welcome to the table at the Art of Friendship podcast. I'm so relieved that you're here.
Me too. Thank you for having me today.
Heather, on our last episode, we talked about the amazing opportunities that come with the season of October, thanks Christmas, New Year's, that we get to open our homes and let people in and build relationships and make connections. It's amazing. And it can also be stressful and it can be hectic and our time gets short and our routines get turned upside down. And all of that means that we need a health coach. So welcome, because we're headed into a season where we're going to need some tips and tricks to not get swallowed up in all of the joy and make our own lives and health the casualty.
Oh my gosh, that's such a great way of framing that idea of getting swept up into the joy and losing ourselves along the way. And, you know, I think it's a gift and a skill that can be learned to make sure that we care for ourselves while we are also caring for others.
Well, there are high hopes for you, because you are known as the girl who solves everything. Heather Solves Everything. That's the name of your podcast. And so I'm just saying, my expectations are high for you, girl.
Okay, good. Hopefully. So the tagline of my show is the show where I take credit for solving your problems by introducing you to smart people with good ideas. So hopefully I'll be able to pull from all of the people that I know who give good advice and bring that to you today.
All right. I may have to steal that, because I think that is what we're doing today. I'm hoping to offer some solutions, but you get to be the expert. And tell me.
I am ready.
So now I need to know how you gained this expertise.
Well, yes, I am known as Healthy Heather in some circles, and that's because I'm the Pollyanna Energizer Bunny type of gal that shows up and really enjoys connecting people with the elements of their life that help them live the way they want to, the way that they've always imagined that they would. And for a long time, that wasn't actually a job. About 15 years ago, I discovered that I could make that my job by becoming certified as a health and well-being coach. And over the past 15 years or so, I've built a career on that. I'm a national board certified health and well-being coach. And that means that it's my job to help people live a healthy, balanced life, whatever that means for them. And so I work with individuals to help them cultivate a life that where they can thrive and feel authentic. And I also work with organizations to help them create employee well-being programs. So every day I get to show up and hopefully be part of what makes people's day a little bit more fun.
I think one of the things that might set this conversation apart from other things that we'll be hearing as we head through this season, and when we talk about the idea of health and wellness, is there are so many quote unquote programs out there, plug and play. Here's what you do. This will get you healthy. These are the practices. And if you do them in these increments, then problem solved. I'm just going to say, I am the queen of wanting to do plug and play. Heather, I have ordered so many late night infomercial plug and play programs. It's embarrassing to say how many are zipped in my cabinets, but when I'm sitting on my couch at 2 a.m. and everybody else is in bed and that's sort of my downtime and I'm eating my Cheetos and a show comes on, I'm like, that's going to solve my problem. Plug and play, while it has its place for some people, Heather, it's a fail for a lot of us.
Yeah. If you ever notice on those infomercials, down at the bottom of the screen, there's some teeny tiny little words with a little asterisk and it says results not typical. I think that the success stories that they share on those infomercials are designed to hook you. And they know exactly what you want. And it's just what you said. I want to be able to bring this element into my life without having to really do or change very much about the way that I'm living right now. Plug and play. I plug it in, set it and forget it. I turn the dial and my life is different. When I hear things like that, one of the first questions I have is whether or not there's trust with yourself that you can do it on your own, or whether there's knowledge about how to do it, or, you know, when's the last time that you felt like you were doing it? And how can we go back to that, or start to implement some of the things that you already know and start creating your own plug and play? What is the plug and play for you?
Okay, now I love that, because that is the appeal, right? That I could get to something that I know, something that's doable, something that's familiar, but it doesn't have to be what works for everybody else. And I think that's the key there is. So thank you for telling me I can eventually have that plug and play, but it's going to be unique to me. It's going to fit my lifestyle, my priorities, my needs, my limitations, because we do have some. I think it's unrealistic for us to think that we don't. And that may be one of the big reasons that we fail at a lot of our attempts to get onto a healthy path, is we don't acknowledge that there are either some time limitations, motivation limitations, health limitations, those kinds of things, to be able to create something for each one of us. So I think that's probably where the whole, you know, being a coach where you work one-on-one with people is both satisfying to you, but also incredibly helpful for others.
Exactly, because we are all unique. And while there are some universal truths that many of us experience, they land differently in our own set of circumstances, in the lifestyle that we actually live. And so working as a personal coach means that I get to come into someone's life and ask, what does healthy mean to you? Especially when we look into the holidays, what does a healthy holiday season look like to you? When you get to, you know, you're sitting in your armchair at the end of December and you're contemplating the new year, you know, what needs to have happened for you to be able to feel really satisfied about the way that you experience the holidays? And then how do we create that? Because for some people, it might mean I'm going to stick to my healthy food and I'm not going to get tempted by party food and I'm not going to drink any alcohol and I'm not going to, you know, be tempted by these outside influences that always get me. And for somebody else, it might mean I'm gonna have, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I want to savor the season, but I don't want to go overboard. And for someone else, they might say, you know what? I've worked hard all year long, and I'm putting on my stretchy pants. And watch out. And my job as a coach is to help people get what they want while keeping their best interests at heart.
Well, then let's talk about some of those. Maybe the best way to start our conversation is just to define what healthy means. I love your book. I mean, what's not enticing about happy, healthy you? But what exactly is healthy in the context of what we're aiming for?
Oh, gosh, that's such a fun question to answer, because it includes so many different facets of life. when I think about what's healthy, for one, you want to have a look at the numbers of your health, your cholesterol, your resting heart rate, you know, whether you, if you're worried about diabetes, what your blood sugar levels might be. You know, there's kind of the doctor's visit of, okay, so is my body healthy? Do I have high blood pressure? You know, am I in a good zone? I'm taking care of my heart. My body is functioning. Okay. So there's that category. And then there's also, you know, my relationships. Do I feel connected with other people? You know, do I have a support system? Do I have friends that I can rely on? You know, do I have somebody that makes me laugh? And, you know, and that being healthy. There's spiritual healthiness, you know, of am I in a place where, you know, I'm nurtured and I'm growing and I'm learning? And, you know, there's so many different areas where we have this kind of pendulum swing, and it's hard to keep them all in the middle, but I like to keep an eye on all of them to make sure that I'm nurturing all those different areas of wellness in my life.
I was listening to somebody say the other day that there are three things that we all want: fast, cheap, and good, but you can't have them all at the same time.
you can have two.
That's right. Yeah. You can have fast, but you can't necessarily then have good, or you can have cheap, but you can't necessarily have fast. And so you kind of have to pick and choose. That word balance is what keeps coming to my mind as you were talking about these different areas. We don't want to have to pick and choose, but the reality is we're kind of treating all of those different aspects of health as if we can choose. I can have healthy relationships, but I'm not going to be able to sleep because people take time. Or I can have all the rest I want, but I'm not going to be able to have relationships because I don't have time for it. You know, it's almost like we look at the healthy aspects of our life and we're saying, nope, can't have them all, going to have to pick and choose. Getting to that place of balance, which I know is key for you, is something that most of us need to learn so that we can have it all. Not in the sense of having everything, but having all the kinds of good, healthy balances in our life.
I think the reality is that life is not set it and forget it. It's not plug and play. It's a show up every day and an engage kind of situation. And we get sold the promise that once we get it set up, then we can just be on autopilot for the rest of our lives. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way. You know, life and balance is the type of thing that you show up for and decide every day, you know, is everything where it needs to be for today? And, you know, the subtitle of my book is Breaking the Rules for a Well-Balanced Life. And the reason is because sometimes it does take breaking those societal rules and kind of adjusting them, bending them so that they're suitable for your personal circumstances.
Well, I am a rule breaker in general, so that appeals to me.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well, I want us to have a big enough conversation that we're incorporating these aspects in life in general, but I also want us to see what that can look like in a super busy season. For us, that super busy season now is going to be the holidays, but like, I've just been through a super busy work season over the summer. So it doesn't necessarily have to be related to, you know, the holidays or the calendar. It can very much be about life circumstances and figuring out how you bring that balance in. So as we think about the bigger conversation, let's start with overall, how do we then analyze our life for health? And then we'll talk about how we prepare for keeping that intact in the busiest seasons.
A good place to start is by asking, what's going well right now? And then what else would I like to bring in? A lot of times people want to jump in with what needs to be fixed. What's not going well? Sure, there's always something that's not fitting, but I don't like to put too much attention there because attention goes where your energy flows. And I don't want to spend a lot of time looking at what's not working. What's not working is going to go away on its own when you stop giving it energy. And so I like to instead focus on what's going well. And what else do I want? What do I want more of? So we're bringing in more of what's going well, and that automatically takes up all of the space and there's no longer room for what wasn't working. That doesn't mean we never have to address problems, but we're looking at our lives from a place of what's going well.
You know, whenever you start looking at problems, number one, your motivation is just zapped away from the beginning. Because if I know the first thing I'm going to have to deal with is problems, I'm just going to keep putting it off. That's just the reality of human nature, right? I got enough problems. Why would I go looking for them? I just love that you flip that around a little bit and you're saying, no, okay, you're going to encourage yourself. You're going to start with something that you want to do, patting yourself on the back, cheering a little bit and saying, what is working in my life? You mentioned three different areas where we can focus on health, the physical, the relational, and the spiritual. So I would guess that we would need to ask ourselves, if we want to have an overall healthy, balanced life, we need to ask ourselves those questions in all three of those areas, not just what so many of us do. We only want to focus, we think of health, we only want to focus on the body and getting it where we want it to be. But that's really a question that would be applicable in all three of those areas.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that you can always look for, you know, what do I like here and what do I want to cultivate? And you can look at that from a physical perspective, from an emotional perspective, a spiritual perspective. And I find that it's a really energizing place to start asking questions. And even if you can't think of anything that's going well in one particular category, you can also ask yourself, what would I like here?
I like that. We're still not to the what's going wrong yet.
So sometimes you show up at the end of the day, you say, okay, now I'm going to go and work on all my problems. And when you go over to where they were, they're not there anymore.
Right. Because we focused on what I do want and focusing on then moving toward that causes these other things to dissipate. So just thinking through my life, gosh, this is great. I'm getting a personal therapy coaching session here. So like when I'm thinking through physically my life, it has been such a busy season that I just realize I'm eating junk because that's what I have time for. I'm eating junk because it's comforting to eat a bag of Cheez-Its. There's just something comforting about that versus carrots, even though they're both in my kitchen. I am working very late and, you know, have this terrible cycle now where I'm going to bed last night at 3 a.m. This morning, you know, just having a hard time wanting to get up and get going. And I'm getting zero exercise because so much of my work centers around what I do at a desk. So I'm not moving. So all of those things I'm looking at, and that can be so discouraging. But knowing that I can start with the other two, and then let's just take me as an illustration, because there are other people that are like, yeah, I can't really see anything physically in the positive lane here. So how do you talk to somebody that is struggling with the, I'm not sure what to do because I don't really have anything to build on at this point when it comes to the healthy balance of the body?
One place to start might be in asking one of two questions. You could ask yourself, where would be the easiest place for me to make a change right now? And then another kind of dimension of that question is, where am I the most curious? What am I the most curious about? What would happen if? And the reason why I like those questions is because I always want to start with the path of least resistance. The whole point is to help people see opportunities where they can just turn the knob a little bit. You cannot turn a ship on a dime, you know, just a little bit at a time. And so I want to look for those little slivers of light coming in. And then how can we make that a little bit bigger? So, you know, where is the easiest place for me to start? Knowing that once you get some momentum, it's easier to keep that going and let that grow. And then where am I the most curious? I mean, let's have a little fun with this. What would be the most interesting thing to do here?
I am a person who does not enjoy nor get motivated to exercise for exercise sake. Because there is a point at the end, it makes you healthier, but I'm all motivated by fun. And so I need to do something that is fun. And that's what drives me to do it. So thinking through, like, I've always wanted to learn to play tennis.
Great.
So I've never done it, but I'm thinking that's fun. You do it with other people. It gets you moving, gets your heart rate up. It doesn't require a lot of, I don't got to drag a boat to the lake, you know, I don't have to buy a lot of extra equipment. I'm just thinking, when it comes to curious, I've always been curious, would that be a fit for me? And yet I've never done anything about it.
I really hope that you do, because it sounds like you've got an interest there. You're curious about it. It's something that you've always wanted to try, and it's great exercise. So if you know that exercise, like the benefits of exercise, is kind of more of a byproduct of having fun, that's how Zumba became such a huge success. The number of people I know who find so much joy in Zumba and get a fantastic workout is because they're having fun. If you think that tennis could be fun, give it a try. Yeah. If you get started, get yourself in the room and then allow yourself to discover what else could be there.
I know that when it comes to creating balance in your life, there are four areas that you say that we all have to think about, and that's eating healthy, exercise, getting to bed on time, and don't stress. Oh, no problem. Okay, that's just right. Four. But I'm already looking through and going, no. Okay, well, I'm one for four. So it can't be just about, here's the list.
Well, the next sentence after those four is, those are easier said than done a lot of times. You know, when we try to keep all of those plates spinning at the same time, something is going to fall to the ground. I can't remember who it was. Some brilliant thought leader said that, you know, we are trying to keep all of the balls in the air, but we have to remember that some of those balls are plastic and it's okay if they fall. Not all of the balls are priceless. So some of them can fall to the ground and everything is going to be fine. So when you're trying to balance, you know, okay, I've got to eat healthy food, and then I've got to get enough sleep, and then I've got to get exercise, and then I need to really stay calm. You know, that in itself is a recipe for disaster. So what I recommend is choosing one where you feel like you can start getting some momentum and really just kind of get that going. And make sure that you're scaling your expectations to something that's realistic, or another word that you could use is fair for where you are in life right now. For example, I wouldn't think it would be fair to expect yourself to balance all of those plates during the holidays because there's so much going on. So maybe choosing one to focus on during a busy time and letting the rest of them just kind of roll rather than being, you know, up in the air.
So taking that as to the practical application then, for instance, look, maybe you're not going to eat healthy when, like me, my mom is making 7 dozen different kinds of cookies for the holidays because 2 or 3 is not enough. And so, and of course she's making my favorites, or even being able to fit in the exercise routine because time gets more limited and you may have to give up on that. But what I can do in the midst of that is say, you know what, I am going to be indulging a little bit and I'm not going to be able to, if you're a walker or whatever you do, but I am going to make sure that I still am getting 8 hours of sleep because I want to have the energy to do those things because I'll eat a lot less healthy if I'm more stressed because I didn't get rest. There's a lot of grace one has to give oneself in this process. The word I want to come up with is compromise, but I'm really not compromising by making the decision that this is best.
Right. You're prioritizing. We can't do everything well at the same time. And so there are times when one element takes a back seat so that another element of life can be the priority. And I think that's fair. I would challenge you to go into the future and think about life after the holidays are over or after that busy season is over and fill in the blank of, I'm so glad that I blank. I'm so glad that I went for my morning walk during the holidays. Because I was energized, I had some time to think to myself, and I burned a little extra calories for all those cookies that I ate. Or I'm so glad I stuck to my sleep routine because, you know, whatever the reasons are. But really be honest with yourself and then believe what you hear. And if you're forcing an answer, you'll feel it. And let the answer be the truth. And then try to honor that for yourself.
You're going to stop us from saying, I'm really regretting that I fill in the blank. Or is there a place for that at the end after something is over and we're thinking through and analyzing how something went, whether it was balanced, whether it fit? Is there a place? I know we want to focus on the things that we are doing well and that we want to add in, but is there a place then for assessment?
Definitely. I love improvement and looking for opportunities to improve. And, you know, I think that it's fun to challenge ourselves to get better at things. So definitely, I think we can always look back and ask, what did I learn? What would I do differently next time? And, you know, challenging ourselves to continue leveling up, but framing it in a perspective of compassion towards ourselves and still looking through that lens of, what did I learn and where am I curious and how can I make this even better?
Most of the time, conversations about health center on the physical self. And for women, a lot of that orbits around how do we feel about the dimensions of our body in different ways. It just is, or how we look. That's why I appreciate that health really needs to be looked at in so many other ways, because there are just some things, quite frankly, even if we do everything right, you can't control. Time and age are going to have consequences that there are things you just can't do about. So if that's all health means to you, you will get to the point where you have no control over that. One of the things that you put on the plate of a healthy, balanced lifestyle is relationships. I think obviously that's the bread and butter of our conversation here. I think for a lot of people that's considered extra. It's the dessert to the plate. It's not the main thing. And so they're not necessarily given the time and consideration as being part of what makes us a well-balanced, healthy, happy person. I'd love to get some insights on the how relationships factor into health and how we can do an assessment there.
I'm really glad that you brought that up. And I'm glad that you mentioned the factors of life that we don't have control over, especially women, when we're looking at our health and comparing ourselves. And I think it's helpful to remember that we aren't always in control, but we're always in charge. And we still make the decisions and choices that are best for us. My experience is that when we are connected with others and with ourselves, and we are being nurtured and our relationships are strong, that we automatically take better care of ourselves physically as well. So I think that it's really important to have a strong network of friendships and other relationships in your life that are like-minded, where you're surrounding yourself with people who build you up and who you can also serve, somebody who makes you laugh harder than anyone else, somebody who you know you can confide in, and people who are in a reciprocal relationship with you.
There are so many things that we compromise and give up for in life, things that we set aside to do other things. And I think one of the things that we don't often do that for is relationships, because it does feel so expendable. And yet when you're looking at the things in your life and considering what's going well, if relationships, deep connection, and intimacy is not on that list, that might be a great place to pause and say, how am I curious? Who am I curious about? How could I add that in? Even if I need to, and this is, I think, what's harder for us, even if I need to give something else up to have that. Maybe I'll run 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week so that I can make time to invite somebody to coffee to build relationships. Or maybe I won't get as much sleep on the weekend as I normally do so that I can fit in a double date with someone to build a relationship with another couple. I just think that the you used the word realistic earlier. To add something in sometimes does cost us something, but it costs a great deal when you do not have intimate connections in your life.
Yes, and that's so tricky because we can't always dictate how people, well, we can never really dictate how people feel about us. You know, and we can only show up as, you know, as our authentic selves, with, you know, the best intentions towards others, you know, trying to reflect love to others, but we can't demand people care for us and we can't make anybody feel a certain way. And so that can feel a little bit like, I don't have control over this, and I'm not even really in charge of it. The only thing I'm in charge of is how I show up. And I think you're right. Sometimes we do have to make, I don't like to use the word sacrifices, but it is a, you know, it is a decision of putting letting one thing be less so that something else has room to grow.
The priority word you used earlier, it's not that one thing's not valuable, it's just you're changing priorities. And I do think that just even being able to embrace that idea, priorities are important, but that doesn't mean they don't change, both in seasons and by need, and that we can value things without letting them go completely, just not giving them the top spot. Last thing I'd love for you to talk about in the healthy balanced pursuit of the healthy balanced life is just spiritual health. Again, for a lot of people, that is sort of the whipped cream. It's great if you can have it, but my life's really not gonna be altered if I invest there. Why is that probably a misstatement?
Well, I can only speak for myself. When I show up and really, truly allow myself to be a child of God as I am, without needing to change anything about who I am, I find that there is a feeling of relief that comes over me, knowing that I am enough just being here. When I interact with my faith family, and I'm lucky enough to have a really dynamic church home, with people that I really enjoy being with and who just inspire me to try to be a better person, my life gets better. I can't explain it. You know, it's not like a scientific equation of, you know, this plus this equals that. It's a really personal experience that I hope everybody has the opportunity to open up and let themselves have in their life.
Speaking for myself as well, I would say I also find that the deeper connection that I have with Christ, the more intimate my relationship with God, the more I understand that I am fully accepted, that I've got nothing to prove because Christ proved everything for me, the more I also find that my priorities are realigned in relationship to Him. And so where I'm striving to try to figure out, should I do this more? Should I do that more? Should I pursue this? Should I pursue that? Do I have time for this? Do I have time for that? One of the things that helps me figure that out is my relationship with God as I look to Him to help order those priorities. That to me is an opportunity for the pursuit of balance in my life that starts there. So speaking for myself, I would agree with you. Final thoughts as we head into super busy season when it comes to being able to have that healthy, not just not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, relationally, going into a new season.
Be honest with yourself about what wellness means to you and what you truly want from the season that you are about to go into. I think Stephen Covey probably said it best, begin with the end in mind. You know, what do you want to be celebrating at the end of that season? Look at what's going well. What have you learned from the past? And what would you like to bring in so that when you get to the end of that season, you're looking around and counting your blessings and you are able to be a blessing to others as well.
begin with the end in mind. I think you could apply that to absolutely everything we've talked about today, because part of the issue that we all struggle with is motivation. And when we're only able to see the here and now, and we're dissatisfied in the here and now, it leaves us in a place that's stuck. But to look to where you want to be and then to aim for that, yeah, that's motivating. And what better way to spend some time than thinking about where do you want to aim when it comes to being healthy? So how about a friend foray? Two simple questions. What's going well and what do you want to add? Asking that in regard to your physical health, your emotional health, your relational health, and of course, your spiritual health. What's going well and what do you want to add? And let that be the roadmap for some changes that you might want to make and a little patting on the back that, quite frankly, I think you might need. You can let Heather guide you through this journey by picking up a copy of her book, Happy, Healthy You, Breaking the Rules for a Well-Balanced Life. You can also find her at her podcast, Heather Solves Everything. Speaking of podcasts, we've got some great encouragement for you over at hopeondemand.com. Go over and check out the growing number of podcasts we have to offer you. I know you'll find encouragement there. All right, my friends, until we're together again next time, you know what I'll say. Keep friending with purpose.